Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis feeds it to Lopez, now to Dame. Dame squeezes off a three, and he has given Milwaukee their first lead of the night.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Golden State is going to pull out the win tonight, 104-93. It was a tough night at the office for the Bucks.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Tough night indeed for the Bucks. A disappointing loss for a bevy of reasons. This was there for the taking. This wasn't a game, and I was talking about this during the game with somebody else, that you look at some of the really, really rough performances the Bucks have had this season, in certainly the final three quarters against the Oklahoma City Thunder, where I think you saw, if that's the level you have to be at, that's not where the Bucks currently are. Both of those Knicks games earlier this season were tough. That first one especially, it kind of similar to that Thunder game, and for where the Bucks were at that point in the season, just felt like, all right, the Knicks are clearly a level above where the Bucks currently are at, and they thoroughly outplayed them. The Memphis Grizzlies loss that I think ended up being 23, 25, somewhere around there, that was the Halloween game that was certainly terrifying. That was a rough one. This one was not that. You played a Warriors team without Steph Curry, and I suppose there's two things I do want to kind of clear up. Like, I think a lot of times we're inclined to look at back-to-backs and say, well, you got the rest advantage, and this is a big advantage for that team, whether it's the Bucks, any other team. I just don't think that's a thing. It is in fourth quarter, certainly, but I think what we've seen across the league is the reality is back-to-backs, they only really matter for older teams. And the Bucks are an older team. I mean, they made some moves to get younger and more athletic at the deadline, but they're still an older team. You know, Giannis is now 30 years old. Damian Lillard is in his mid-30s. Brooke Lopez is less than 2 weeks away from turning 37 years old. So I just don't think back-to-backs mean what we think they do anymore. And the other thing is, this is not just the Bucks that this has been an issue with. It's tough, and we talked about this earlier this season. It is tough to get up for games. To be clear, I'm not saying the Bucks weren't up for this one, but it's tough to get up for games when you look across the floor and you see this player's out or that player's out. Look at the Golden State Warriors in the result of last night's game when they, night two of a back-to-back tonight, but night one was against the Denver Nuggets, and Denver won that game without Jamal Murray and without Nikola Jokic. It is very common to see this. We see more and more of it across the league. Now, all of that being said, this was a pretty disheartening loss because what we just laid out there, this wasn't a case of the Golden State Warriors for 48 minutes thoroughly outplaying you. This was there for the taking when you look at the efficiencies of both teams. Going back to that Knicks game, Knicks really outplayed you, and you felt like they're just a better team than we are right now. Thunder, same thing in those final three quarters. They're just a much better team than we currently have right now. I didn't get that impression from this Warriors team, especially without Steph Curry. They shot 42%, just under 42% for the game. The problem was your offense, once again. You forced 19 turnovers and scored 22 points off of those. The problem was your offense and rebounding issues. It's a challenge against the Warriors team that is one of the best, they may be number one, one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league, and the Bucks early on in this game were forced to play small, and we're going to see a lot of that go forward, at least for the next 10 or so games until Bobby Portis completes his 25-game suspension. But when you do that, and when you play small, it is imperative to find your guy, to find a body and box out in the lane. And we did not see that. The Warriors capitalizing on that, 11-0. They outscored the Bucks on second chance points via the offensive rebound in this one tonight. Jimmy Butler continues to haunt the Bucks, but the fourth quarter offense is really the big one here, and there are two things that are going to determine how far this Bucks team goes, and so far what we've seen has not been encouraging in the regular season. Your fourth quarter offense, and the more and more we get a sample size of this, this offense is just, look, you can get why with the two players I'm about to name. It is heavily reliant on Giannis and Damian Lillard playing like all NBA players. And tonight they shot a combined 32%. You're not going to win a game when that happens. You need those two guys. And we said from the top with the playoffs, you feel pretty strongly that any series you're in the Eastern Conference, Giannis is going to be the best player on the floor. You need Damian Lillard to be the second best player in some of those, at least the third best player. You need to consistently get that in a playoff series. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Frustrating loss for a number of reasons. Number one, you didn't face Steph Curry. The Warriors, this wasn't a hot shooting night. This wasn't a, man, the Warriors played excellent tonight. There was a four-minute stretch that determined this game, but this was there. If you put together a better fourth quarter, you start this road trip with a win. You go into a game Thursday night against the Lakers where you're not going to face LeBron James. You might not see Luka Doncic. We'll see how the Lakers decide to handle that game tomorrow against the Nuggets. It is a back-to-back. Lakers also played Luka Doncic in the game against the Bucks last week and sat him against the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see what that means tomorrow. It was a chance to really start this road trip on a strong note, and instead it starts with a loss. The road record is what it is. It is frankly not good enough, and it's hard to not see these results and look back at all the previous five-game road trips, and especially last year when Doc Rivers took over to start a five-game road trip. Different teams, some overlap, but you went 1-4 there. You absolutely cannot go 1-4 on this road trip. If you go 1-4, I think you're the sixth seed, and then you're drawing the New York Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll see some calls coming in. We'll get to your thoughts coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Bucks come the other way with it. Another chance to tie or get the lead. Giannis feeds it to Lopez, now to Dame. Dame squeezes off a three, and he has given Milwaukee their first lead of the night. 65-64.
Just two threes tonight for Damian Lillard. A tough shooting night for Dame, but we've really started to see more and more of this the last couple of weeks in that more and more teams are just saying, hey, it's got to be somebody other than Giannis or Dame. We're going to really put a lot of ball pressure on Damian Lillard and start to trap him at midcourt when we get the opportunity. We're going to sag into the paint and take that away from Giannis. We want Kyle Kuzma and Torian Prince to shoot. Make these guys beat us. Doc said after the game, we're just in an offensive funk and we got to get out of it. That is very evident. Again, 17 points in the fourth quarter tonight for a team, and you shot 25% for a team that came into the game tonight with the 30th ranked third or fourth quarter offense. Almost unbelievable to say for a team with Giannis and Damian Lillard, 30th, 29th in clutch games offense. You're not going to go far with those numbers being what they are. And we said 30th is, it is what it is for now 68 games through the season. In 14 games, you're not going to go from 30th to 10th. So we got to look at, okay, how is it doing post-All-Star break? It's been okay, but still, fourth quarter has to be your time to shine. And especially with Dame on this roster, the Bucks have to be in the top 10. I mean, they should really be a top 7 fourth quarter offense with those two guys. They've been nowhere near that. You got guys that have been in a shooting funk. The numbers don't necessarily back it up. It's hard not to move past that, though, when you see some of the open looks that aren't falling. But you look at the stat sheet, too, and 2 3-point attempts in this game from A.J. Green. Kevin Porter Jr. took 4 shots, scored 2 points off the bench. Torian Prince has a quick trigger, took 3 threes, but Kyle Kuzma matched a season high with 13 3-point attempts. The Warriors and a handful of other teams are saying, let Kyle Kuzma shoot. Guy that shot 28% with the Wizards, I think it was 31% in the 19 now games he's played with the Bucks. We'll let him shoot. And you saw that with the 13 3-point attempts tonight. But you have to get more looks for a guy like Gary Trent Jr., who had 4, A.J. Green especially. You have to get more than 2 threes from A.J. Green. 855-616-1620. Deciding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Bob in Menasha. You're up first.
Yeah, it's getting late. Thanks for taking my call, Justin. Yeah, it's hard to disagree with things you say because I do agree with all of them. But they've imploded many times in the second half. But I think the problem started even at the first half. And they have 44 points. Am I right in that? 44 points first half.
Yep.
So the Warriors defended our strength pretty well. Stop this stuff in the paint, and we couldn't handle Jimmy Butler at all. Dishes it off to guys on the wing, and they're just able to score. Doc keeps saying that he can fix all those things. I don't think they're fixable, Justin. Do you? I really don't think they're fixable. I really, really don't. I think they're going to wind up in sixth spot. I hate to say it, but I can't see him fixing it. I just don't think they have the firepower. And if the two big guys don't have the firepower some nights, it's over. It's just over. Any comments on that?
Thanks for the call, Bob. I don't disagree with the last part. If Giannis and Damian Lillard don't play like all-stars, and tonight was a rough game for Giannis, that has been a rarity. The Bucks are 5-14 in games this season where Dame has shot 40% or lower. That number's not good enough either. But it just shows you're built around these two guys being the guys that are carrying your offense and creating open looks for other guys. I think Damian Lillard did a lot of good things in this one tonight. Paint touches, just collapse the defense and be a decoy to open up looks for your shooters. They just didn't hit shots, but you got to work for more of those looks. And, I know it's been a talking point of how many threes is too many threes? Do the Bucks take too many threes? I don't think there's a magic number. I mean, you look at the volume of threes that the Cavs and Celtics take on a nightly basis. The Cavs are the best offense in the league. Celtics were the best offense of all time a season ago. It's what the league is. You need threes to win games. But you need your shooters to hit shots, and you need to work for open looks. By the numbers, I think we would all say, hey, man, it feels like A.J. Green has been in a big slump coming out of the All-Star break. It feels like the Bucks are just missing open shots. And what I can tell you is their percentages are lower pre-All-Star break versus post-All-Star break, but not to the level where you would say, man, this is noticeable. It's just big ones, right? It's what sticks with you the most is the ones that feel like this is what can get a run going, or this is what can halt a run for the opposing team and build some momentum here. The big moments in the game is where those threes have just not fallen. And what we're seeing now, I think the good to come from this, well, it can be a good, I should say, is this is exactly what you're going to see in the playoffs. So when you get to the postseason, none of this should surprise you. But it's imperative you figure out how do we get out of this offensive funk. Because as good as the defense has been, and as much as we praise them, and the defense wasn't great tonight. There were breakdowns, especially in that second quarter, especially in the fourth quarter. But overall, your defense has been good enough. Your defense has kept you in games. It's a far cry from where it was last year. It's the offense that is nowhere near where it needs to be. And we saw that once again tonight, especially in the fourth quarter. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Couple other things that have started to take place here. The Indiana Pacers with that big win last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves on a heavily contested Obi Toppin three-point shot from the corner. They have now moved in front of the Bucks. They're 38-29. The Bucks are 38-30. So we'll dig into what the numbers suggest in where the Bucks are going to finish this season and what we've seen since Saturday, what has potentially changed, plus who has the most difficult road ahead. We'll take a look at all that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
We don't have the right space, and the ball's not moving. We're not attacking. We're not getting to the paint. I got a whole list, you know, but we got to do it, and I got to get them to do it. That's my job.
17-point fourth quarter tonight for the Bucks. Fourth quarter offense continues to be a big issue for this team. They now drop down to 38-30 on the season into fifth place. The Indiana Pacers, who were idle, are 38-29. They have now moved into fourth. There are, I think, four things that are certain in the Eastern Conference. Five. Number one, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the one seed. The second certainty is the Boston Celtics are the two seed. The third is the New York Knicks are the three seed. Any hope, the pipe dream that it was, of catching the New York Knicks. And I remember when Jalen Brunson went down with that injury to the Lakers, 2 weeks ago now on Thursday. Sane. Not to be the wet blanket here, but it's still pretty significant. It's a tall ask for the Bucks to move past the Knicks with how many games you'd have to outplay them by because of not having the tiebreaker with so few games remaining. Even with Jalen Brunson going down, I don't think that makes the Knicks a team that wins 33% of their games. And that's basically what you would need while winning two-thirds of your games the rest of the way. Well, it doesn't matter because the latter has not happened so far. Knicks are going to be the three seed. The other certainty is we know who the 10 teams are. I think we can confidently say that in the postseason. And the fifth part is we know who 7 through 10 is going to be. The order is still to be determined. That's what's up in the air right now. Who finishes fourth? Who finishes fifth? Who finishes sixth? And then what's the order for the play-in teams? It's pretty much likely Hawks and Magic are going to be 7 and 8 seeds. Miami Heat have dropped all the way down to 10th in the play-in tournament. So as of right now, the Hawks and Magic would play each other in that first 7-8 game. The winner gets the 7th seed and plays the Boston Celtics. The loser is still alive for the 8th seed. You got the Bulls and the Heat playing each other. Loser's eliminated. The winner plays whoever loses 7-8, and the winner of that gets to play the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's 4, 5, and 6. That's the most interesting part go forward because I don't think anybody thinks any of those four teams have a chance at beating the Cavs or the Celtics in the first round. In terms of how many games would the 7 and 8 seeds win combined in their first round series, I think you could probably set the over-under at half, and I'd still probably take the under. But 4, 5, and 6 is the intrigue. So, as mentioned, the Indiana Pacers are now in front of you at 38-29 on the season. Now, all you have to do is tie the Indiana Pacers, and you will finish in front of them because of getting that tiebreaker. And that's the importance of that win on Saturday night. Your strength of schedule has significantly fallen off. And again, as frustrating as this one was tonight, you have to put it behind you. You have to fix the offense. And you got games that are not quite as daunting as they were when we initially looked at this schedule in August and even leading into the All-Star break weeks ago, not quite as challenging, right? The Sacramento Kings are not the red-hot team they were after making that coaching change. The Phoenix Suns have been an outright disaster so far this season. The Lakers, there's a decent chance you're going to be playing them without both LeBron and Luka Doncic. I said coming into this road trip, you got to shoot for 3-2. And if you can finish better than 3-2, great. For a while, you know, what, the first 11 minutes through 11 minutes in the third quarter, you felt pretty good of, hey, you're at least going to start this road trip with a win. Can you potentially make this 2 in a row or 3 in a row with the Lakers and a Kings team on Saturday? And then you're going into that Monday-Wednesday game of, hey, if you split these, you're 4-1 on this road trip. Well, that all changed with those four-minute stretch. Final minute of the third quarter, first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, you're outscored 16-0, and it was really over after that. But after the Bucks beat the Pacers on Saturday night, they had a 52% chance of getting the four seed. They went from a 37% chance before the game to 52%. Everything that has unfolded since, the Bucks losing two games, the Pacers winning last night the way that they won, the Bucks have now dropped down to a 31% chance at the four seed. The Pacers have a 60% chance. They do have an easier remaining schedule than the Bucks. Bucks are still the 10th easiest, 11th easiest remaining schedule in the league, however. It's where six becomes interesting, or it's where it becomes interesting for the Bucks when six isn't taken off the table. And we said before Saturday night, this is your most important game remaining this season. Felt pretty crummy about the way that game ended in Indiana. All right, just as we're saying tonight, put it behind you, win this game, and you feel good. The hope was, this is your most important game, and we don't have to put importance on those two Pistons games. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case. A Pistons team that just refuses to go away, and that first one especially in Detroit, it's a team that knows they're going to be in the top six spots in the postseason. They would much rather play the Indiana Pacers than the New York Knicks and open up that path for them. So it is going to be a challenge for the Bucks. We'll take a look at the rest of the updated odds. That strength schedule that I mentioned as well, what are the crucial challenges remaining for the Bucks? We'll take a look at that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
We're in an offensive funk right now, and we have to get out of it. We'll work our way out of it.
Those are the words from Doc Rivers after he sees his Bucks score 17 points in two quarters tonight. At 44 points at the half. Scored 17 in the second, 17 in the fourth. And again, you came into this game with the 30th rated fourth quarter offense. The efficiency numbers are going to plummet or continue to drop, I should say. We've already seen it plummet if you're 30th. But as Doc said, we're cognizant. We know we're in an offensive funk and we got to fix it. Neither Giannis or Dame terribly efficient tonight. I don't know how much fault you can throw out there when we've seen a couple of times of late now. The strategy is if we have the personnel, full court press, or at least trap, and put two bodies on Damian Lillard once he crosses midcourt, get the ball out of his hands, sag into the paint. And you're not going to shut down Giannis, but sag into the paint and at least make him think twice or just throw bodies out there and say, look, we'll live with it. If Kyle Kuzma takes threes, if Brooke Lopez takes threes, whoever's on the floor, take them. Torian Prince, it's not going to be these two guys. Giannis tonight had his lowest offensive efficiency in 2+ years. Got to go back to February 16th, 2023, when he was 25% from the field. The caveat there is he was 1 of 4 and only played 9 minutes. He suffered the wrist injury in that game against the Bulls. But take that out of the mix, still over 2 years. January 11th, that same year, 2023, when he shot 30% in the game against the Atlanta Hawks. You got to go back that far for the last time Giannis was this inefficient from the floor. We'll take a look at Thursday night's matchup with the Los Angeles Lakers, what we can expect from there, and the schedule ahead for the Pistons and the Pacers as we wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. All right, so that schedule, the Pistons and Pacers each have three games remaining against the Cavaliers and Thunder. Actually, the Pacers have three games remaining against the Cavs and Thunder. The Pistons have two remaining against them. But they do have more difficult schedules than you. So, look, you have to, as we said many times earlier this season, in the throes of it when the Bucks were 2-8, you have to be an active participant in your own rescue. So you can't just bank on, hey, they got tougher schedules, we're good here. You got to start to clean some of these things up and win some of these games. But 1-4 cannot happen on this road trip. And frankly, 2-3 should not. You need to be aiming for a winning road trip here to give you that boost and propel you going into the postseason here. Let's wrap things up with some questions here. I'm assuming I know the general tone and subject of a lot of the feedback we've gotten here tonight, but what do we have?
Yeah, a lot on the offense after a disappointing loss tonight. D. Cole 123, he left a series of comments, so I'm paraphrasing here. But essentially, his point here is the Bucks watch Dame and Giannis do a lot of ISO ball on the offensive side.
Yeah.
And the accusation is there's no, well, no real play calls, which is harsh, but no cutting action, and essentially it's Giannis and Dame and the rest are sitting and waiting for the ball, or at least there's too much of that. How much of, so my question for you is, how much of the ISO ball of Giannis and Dame is an issue right now for this Bucks offense?
There was one moment in the game, I think it was the fourth quarter, where it might have been when it was a three-point game, it was either 3 or 5. You knew it was done when, was it Pods that hit two straight threes? When the Warriors took it from 3 to 8. That's when it was, all right, I feel like this is over. But there was that sequence where Giannis was like visibly frustrated and trying to motion to Taurean Prince to move out of the corner. I mean, we've seen a lot more of that, not like the visible frustration from Giannis, but that's, I think, the issue of why you gotta get some movement going here. And it's one of the boosts that Kyle Kuzma initially brought to this team was his cuts off the ball. Doc has said, like, we gotta get Kyle Kuzma to be Kyle Kuzma and be comfortable in this offense. But look, when you have two guys, and I don't know how much of it is even ISO play, but when you just, you have Giannis and Damian Lillard, you are going to be prone to the, are the other guys just going to sit there and watch and wait and say, I'm going to sit in the corner? And Taurean Prince himself on media day, I looked up where, you know, Grayson Allen's, yeah, he didn't name anybody specifically, but like Grayson Allen, Malik Beasley, those guys that had come through Milwaukee, where they would position themselves and get the ball for catch and shoot opportunities. So I think we're seeing a lot of that. And as Doc said, we're in an offensive funk. Like, part of that is maybe you have to look into lineups and rotations a little bit differently because of some of what we talked about, where teams are just, we're going to trap Dame, or we're going to put more bodies on him and size on him and try to double him, and we're going to sag into the paint. Easier said than done. You have to have the right personnel. Draymond Green helps with his physicality and his defensive IQ, but you know, you go back to that Thunder game, look at some of the screenshots, rewatch that game, and look at how their defense was positioned. And granted, they have an elite defense that makes it incredibly tough. It felt like you were wearing a straitjacket in that game. But look at some of the positioning when Giannis was on the floor, where you would just have guys start to take a step back. And maybe not necessarily dare shots. I know Doc took offense to that when he was asked about the dare shots that were given up to Kyle Kuzma. But hey, if they take it, so be it. We're mainly focused with getting more bodies into that painted area. So whether that's, we got to really revamp this offense and work on things like another suggestion of go back to those double horns that they were running quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, everything should be on the table at this point. But whether it's that, whether it's looking into maybe we can only play this guy when this guy's on the floor, everything has to be examined because 30th offensively in the fourth quarter is nowhere near good enough. 17 points in the fourth quarter, nowhere near good enough either. If those trends continue, it's going to be challenging to get out of the first round. And if that's the case, and we're talking about three straight first-round exits, there's a lot of soul-searching and I think a lot of change that comes to this franchise in the offseason, if that is in fact the case. Hopefully we're talking about better things Thursday night, or Friday morning for that matter, because it's a 9:30 tip. Even later on Thursday, Bucks head to Los Angeles to take on the Lakers. Keep an eye on the injury report tomorrow. LeBron James, almost a certainty he is not going to play in that game, but we'll see if the Lakers play Luka Doncic tomorrow against the Denver Nuggets. Who knows? It may mean he's out because he has not typically been playing back-to-backs. Last time these two teams played, it was the Bucks on night one, the Nuggets on night two. They played Luka on night one against the Bucks and sat him against the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see. You may catch the Lakers without both those teams, but regardless of who it is on the floor when you play the Lakers, your offense has to be better than what we saw tonight. 9:30 tip on Thursday. 9 o'clock is when our pregame coverage gets started. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.